Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Religion. This is your host, Maggie. So today we are gonna have on our very first interview. I think that this is a great episode. It was the first one, the first try, and I think it went really well. So you guys are gonna be able to get to know Lauren, originally from Colombia, then moved here to the US when she was about 16. She has an interesting story, though at first she doesn't really think that she does, but throughout the podcast she sort of gains her confidence. And that's what this is all about. This is about sharing your experience and being open and being honest and knowing that everyone has a different life and everyone has a different view on a belief system. And so let's get right into it. And if you want to come on, if you want to share your life story, please send me an email. My email will be in the description. Send me an email, and let's talk. Let's get you on here. So I'll be right back with Lauren. Okay, hi Lauren. How are you?
Hi, great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So this is the first interview, the first
Wow.
live person we have on here to, I don't know, talk about our beliefs and our thoughts and just talk. I kind of wanted to start with you.
Yeah.
Kind of give us a background. Who are you? Where did you grow up? What kind of family did you grow up in?
Yeah. So I'm from Colombia originally, from a little town called Barranquilla. I think it's the best town actually in Colombia. I grew up mainly with my mom's family. My mom and dad were always separated. And yeah, pretty much 16 years of my life I spent over there, and then I moved to Utah when I was 16.
And so this podcast, obviously, you probably have gathered, is about religions, but I don't know if I really want to call it a religion in these sort of senses. More a belief system, I think, is a more casual word because not everyone has a religion, right?
Yeah.
I know we were talking earlier and you didn't think you'd be a great interviewee because you didn't necessarily have a religion,
Yeah.
but I want it to be about what you believe because I think everyone has some type of belief. But let's not get ahead of
Yeah.
ourselves. Sort of, how did you grow up? Did you have a religion in the household? Did you go to church? Did you not?
Yeah, I think growing up in Latin America, or maybe I should only speak for myself, but you're like Catholic by default, you know? So I got baptized when I was a baby in the Catholic Church. My family wasn't very religious. I remember I was going to church maybe, I don't know, like 2 Sundays out of the month, sometimes more, sometimes less. But there was a point where months go by and we didn't go to church. And then someone in the house would be like, we should be better at going to church, and we start again the whole process. But it was never something consistent. Then when in Catholic Church, when you turn 8 or something like that, you have to do tu primera comunión, which I don't know if it translates to like the first communion or whatever. You have to go to class for that beforehand. So I went to class for like 2 months,
And
and
what is that class? What do you do?
well, keep in mind I was 8, so I don't remember a lot of it, but it was just talking about the Bible. and stories of the Bible, and pretty much gathering, I guess, a testimony that God is true and all of this. So I was 8. I had to also confess my sins to a priest.
What did that look like? How did tell me that story?
I think we were, it was him and I, we were in a room. And he was like, well, tell me. I don't.
Who is he?
He's a priest. So I don't know. Just a priest.
The person like, who, does he give the sermons every Sunday? Or yeah. What, if you don't know what a priest is, how would you best explain that?
It's like the person in charge of leading the Sunday school, the Sunday stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess not specifically Sundays, but for me, Sundays. Right. Mm-hmm. It's always a man. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so
I was just went into a room and he just asked you what your sins were. Yeah. What were your
I don't know
sins?
If he was that, like, just tell me all your sins. I think he understood that we were all children, you know?
Yeah. Did you have any sins at 8 years old?
You would be surprised. but yeah, I didn't. And then he is usual to be like, okay, you have to, like, I don't know how to say it, rezar. It's
like repent or what?
No, it's like we don't just, in the Catholic Church, you don't just pray and just have a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. It's more of like a paragraph you memorize for different situations.
Okay.
So there's one for Jesus, there's one for God, there's one for Mary. Mm-hmm. So usually when you repent, when you confess your sins, the priest is like, okay, your penalty is to, you know, do 3 Holy Mary, I don't know what the name is in English. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of this was in Spanish, so I'm kind of having difficulty finding the right words. So I had to do that, maybe like do one Padre Nuestro and one Ave Maria.
And is that something you do right there in front of him and you're forgiven?
No, I don't know if there's a rule on when you have to do it. Mm. I did it right after my meeting. Mm. I remember I was alone in this like huge cathedral. And I don't know if you've been to inside a Catholic cathedral. They're beautiful, but they are scary, especially because they have that music going on like all the time. It's creepy. But I kneeled down. I started to pray. And then the music freaked me out. So I was like, amen, bye. And then, yeah, my first communion, it was actually the same day my brother got baptized because he was a baby.
Okay.
So it was very special. I felt important because it was the very first time I got to taste the hostia, which is supposed to symbolize the body of Christ. Mm. And then the wine.
Oh, so
I felt I don't know if it has alcohol or not. I don't know. But
what is that ceremony? What is, I've heard First Communion before, but I don't know what that looks like. What is the ceremony like?
It's different. I think it was different from me than from a lot of my peers, because a lot of my peers did it together through school. But my family wanted me to do it alone. So when I did it, I was in the middle of the cathedral. It was just me dressed in white. So I looked like an angel or whatever. And I had a little candle, I remember. And then the priest was praying or whatever he does. And yeah, I was just there. I don't really remember what he said, or I don't even know what the first communion is for, honestly. Like, other than it's the first time you like partake the sacrament, I don't know why, like,
So you said earlier, you said that you would go to church occasionally, but then someone eventually would be like, well, we should be better at this and let's go more. What, why do you think that is? What does that mean to be better? What? Why do you think they were maybe feeling a need to do something more?
Yeah, so I think, like, as a Christian, you're held to a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is going to church.
Mm.
I think a lot of us believe that we only turn to God or seek God when we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. We need. I know I do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't follow any religion. Sometimes I wonder if there is such a thing like a God.
Mm-hmm.
But in my most vulnerable moments or when things are really, really hard, I find myself praying.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's I don't know, some guilt or some sort of feeling that comes when we maybe feel that we're asking for things but we're not doing our parts,
yeah,
quote unquote, right. Parts.
Right.
Yeah.
So you feel like you have to maybe give back to God to ask for something?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily how he would think.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it makes sense, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you live in your mom's house, you follow your mom's rules.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Out of respect, uh-huh. or just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the better you do following your mom's rule, then you can go out on the weekends and mm-hmm. stay out late and things like that. Right. So I kind of see it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. So that was when you were 8. Did you... As you were growing up, as a teenager, I think most teenagers kind of hit a rebellious streak. Did you fall away from that church? Did you cling more to it as you're growing up? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't feel I fell away out of it because I never thought I was like into it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. So it didn't feel like a decision I made to
mm-hmm.
not go to church anymore. Like, I just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about it. Like, mm-hmm. on Sundays, I didn't think, I'm not going to church today.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't. Yeah. My teenage years, I didn't, think much of God. Actually, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know. And it was when I was a teenager that I realized that I was gay. And I actually started dating a girl,
mm-hmm.
and she went to like Catholic school,
mm-hmm.
so maybe for her this whole gay situation was a little bit more shocking,
uh-huh.
and she did tell me that she was feeling a little bit of guilt,
mm-hmm.
on, you know, our relationship, oh. because of it.
How old were you at this time?
I was 15.
Okay.
Yeah. But I couldn't understand that feeling that she was saying,
mm-hmm.
even though we were of the same religion, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did my best to support, but I don't know, maybe support looks different, mm-hmm. depending on who you are.
What would she say to you? Like, what specifically was she feeling? Because, I mean, I know that there's a lot of religions out there that don't support being gay, but yeah. what was she specifically feeling guilty about?
I think it's just the expectation for us to be with someone of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And then that whole thing of like Adam and Eve were created and like that's what we should all do.
Is that how it is? Is that why it's...
A lot of people, I think a lot of people, and I don't think it's just Catholics. I think a lot of Christians... When they talk about sexuality, one of the first thing they said is, well, God created Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. so that's how it should be.
Huh, that's interesting.
So I don't really remember kind of what she was saying. I think maybe it was something along those lines, mm-hmm. of like, I'm supposed to be with a man.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't last long.
Mm. The relationship or the guilt?
No, the guilt. The relationship lasted like 5 years.
Okay.
But it was good, and I don't feel we were harming each other. I don't think we were harming anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for all those 5 years, she was continuously going to church?
No.
She eventually stopped.
Yeah. She would be a little more spiritual just generally speaking than I was, but no, I don't think nothing like a certain schedule to follow or anything like that. Yeah.
Okay. And so I know that you came to the US eventually.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're here. How did that look? Did your religion change when you came here? Did you see any similarities in what you were before? How was that?
Yeah, so I came here and I saw the little chapels you guys have all over. We're in Utah. So I just thought they were other, like I thought they were Catholic small churches, small cathedrals. Eventually I learn about Mormons and I actually thought at first that they worship Sam Smith, the singer.
The singer. Where did you hear
I
that?
just thought of it because it was something Smith and Sam Smith.
Wow,
So, but
that's
then
amazing.
I learned about Joseph and I talked to the missionaries. This was after a while. So I moved when I was 16 and maybe this journey started when I was like 21, probably.
Okay, and between that time, you didn't really care about
No, so I
religion?
met a girl, just she's my a friend, never nothing else. And she is very, very devoted to the church,
The Mormon
the
Church?
Mormon church. So
Okay.
that's kind of how I learned. So some every other Sunday or whatever, I would like go with her to church, more to like spend time together than to, you know.
Yeah.
There were things that I really appreciated, like, sorry, like there was not a priest. Like a lot of people go up and talk about their feelings and their
Right.
testimonies.
So if no one has ever been to a Mormon church time,
Yeah.
can you explain how it goes?
Let's see if I remember. Back when I was going, it was still 3 hours. So it's every Sunday. Back then it was 3 hours. The first hour was the sacrament meeting where like you have the opportunity to go up and speak about your testimony. You also like partake of the sacrament if you're worthy, which is a whole other thing. And then you had Sunday school, which were 2 hours, but they were different things each hour. I don't quite remember what it was. But yeah, sorry if that wasn't helpful.
No,
But
yeah.
now I think it's just 2 hours every Sunday. So the sacrament and then 1 hour of Sunday school. Yeah.
Okay. So during that time, you were kind of just going and but you weren't really invested.
No, not invested, but I did appreciate many things, like what I said, everyone being able to share their testimony, not just
Someone
a guy
talking, yeah.
like talking, and I mean, I don't mean to say a guy, like I think priests study a lot, you know, but yeah, it wasn't just one person talking, yeah, so. I saw the missionaries just because I was curious. I really respect and admire what they do. I mean, the service they do. So for men, I think 2 years when they turn a certain age, they go to another place and they share the gospel. And for women, I think it's a year and a half. So they came and visit my house and I would listen and ask questions. That was like my time to ask questions. And I didn't really dislike what they said. I mean, I think the focus they have on like family is very nice. And so that's beautiful. I think when you teach something, I don't think you necessarily say the bad things about it, right? So I was just listening to every single good thing that they had to say.
So how long, I'm assuming, did you get baptized into the church
I
or?
did, not because I was seeing these missionaries, my the decision to get baptized was came from a whole other mess. Mm-hmm. I was at a very, very bad time in my life. And I have heard through these teachings that once you get baptized, like, all your sins mm-hmm. are erased.
Mm-hmm.
So I was seeking for that. I was seeking for some type of forgiveness so that I could feel better about myself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I wasn't thinking selfishly back then, right? Uh-huh. But I just wanted to just get a huge weight off my chest.
Yeah.
So I went to the cap the not the capital the time what is it called
Temple Square.
I went uh-huh. to Temple Square, to see the sisters. So yeah, on Temple Square, only sisters can serve.
Mm-hmm.
So
and why is that?
I don't know.
It's actually because when guys, when the men serve at Temple Square, they're wearing, you know, their black suits and everything, and they don't want people to think they're bodyguards.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
They don't want people to think that they're security, so they have only women serving there, so it's more welcoming. And if you don't know, Temple Square is giant square in Salt Lake City, for anyone you know listening that doesn't know, for the temple. But they want it to be more, I guess, opening and welcoming, since it, I mean, Utah is like the Mormon place, and so that's why they don't have men.
Yeah. There is the I don't want to say the main temple, but mm-hmm. a very, very important big temple is right there in the middle of Temple Square.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have little, like, I don't know what they're called, like conference rooms or things like that. It's a very beautiful place regardless. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I went and talked to them. I explained the situation I was in. I told them that I wanted to get baptized, and they taught me a lot. They're actually really good friends of mine right now.
Oh, yeah?
One of them actually is not a member, and it's not active mm-hmm. right now. But yeah, we created a really good friendship, so I appreciate that. But yeah, I got baptized. I really took upon me the commitment of, like, following the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, no dating girls anymore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think I'm more bisexual.
Okay.
So it wasn't huge thing for me to give.
Uh-huh. But what did you think about that? What did you think that you were joining a church that didn't allow you to be your true self? What did you think about that?
I didn't really think much about it. I didn't think I'm not being myself. I think there's a lot more to me that I'm gay,
mm-hmm.
you know, or mm-hmm. I'm bisexual, whatever.
Yeah.
And I have never made that my identity. Mm-hmm. I know for some people it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about that. It was more like, well, this is something I'm choosing to do. If I didn't want to give this up, then I wouldn't choose it, mm-hmm. and I would choose something else that would allow me to do it.
Right.
But I didn't really think bad, like they wouldn't allow me to be myself. I didn't mm-hmm. think that way.
Okay.
I think when you want to fly on an airplane, there mm-hmm. are certain rules. You can't smoke.
Yeah.
Even though if you're a smoker, but you're choosing to go on an airplane, so you just don't smoke.
Right, but not smoking is much different than having a family. Like,
yeah,
if you had fallen in love,
yeah,
you know, with a woman, were you thinking that far ahead?
No. Which shows, I guess, how little I knew what I was getting into. And it was, again, more of like that feeling of peace I was seeking.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was going to be able to do it. Clearly mm-hmm. didn't. But I just didn't feel bad about what I was doing. I wasn't feeling like I was suppressing anything. Mm-hmm.
But you were, did you stop dating women at the
time? Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. I did for like 3 months.
Oh.
No, I mean, I know it sounds like a short time, and it is a short time. Objectively, 3 months is nothing, uh-huh. right? But it was. I really felt good
during those 3 months.
During these 3 months, I was actually going on a mission. I was debating whether doing that or something else. I decided something else,
uh-huh.
and actually, that the something else, I joined the army.
Okay,
and actually, when I was gone in basic training, I felt what I guess we were taught to be the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it a lot. And I felt things that I can't deny now, mm-hmm. even though I'm not active. And again, I don't have a clear view on mm-hmm. who God is or something like mm-hmm. that. But I did experience things that I cannot just deny.
Can you tell us? An experience. Can you tell us what that means to feel the spirit? What does that mean to someone who's not religious?
Yeah, it's, well, to me personally, I just felt heard whenever I was praying.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask for things, or I would be vulnerable and tell God things that I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then through other people surrounding me or through something that happened, maybe that thing that I asked for happened,
mm-hmm.
or maybe that thing that I was worried about was addressed in some mm-hmm. type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me, you know, that seize that feeling of stress or anxiety that mm-hmm. I had in mm-hmm. those moments. So I just felt that I was being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened so many times, right? Would tell him that I was not feeling good about something, or mm-hmm. that I was nervous about something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding, the same day something would,
mm-hmm.
you know, happen that would address the issue, or someone would say something that I felt it was directed towards me, even though mm-hmm. they had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt it was ways of God to let me know that I was being heard.
Yeah. So going back to when you were younger a little bit, in the Catholic Church, you said that you had sort of like rehearsed prayers.
Yeah.
How is it now actually being able to like sit down and
yeah.
pray? How is that experience different?
It was nice. I guess, so they're not rehearsed prayers. They have a name,
mm-hmm.
and again, I'm sorry if someone's listening, if you're Catholic, and I am, my experience is different, so mm-hmm. I'm trying to be as respectful as I can.
No, please, this is all about your experience.
But you can pray. So when I was little, mm-hmm. you know, your parents teach you to just kneel down mm-hmm. and, you know, wish upon a star, like uh-huh, just
right.
you know, pray and ask for, give thanks and ask for what you want.
Right.
So I did have that.
Okay.
But along with that, I had those
uh-huh.
rehearsed prayers
oh,
for
okay.
lack of
okay.
a
so
better.
So you were still
praying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's just when I converted, it was only that. It was only prayer.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing
else. Okay, right.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, so after you get out of the army, after you have all of these, like, deeply meaningful spiritual experiences, kind of, how long did you stay in this religion? You said you only followed the rules, kind of, for 3 months, but did you stay active in the religion for much longer? I know that you're not currently active. How did that play out?
Yeah, when I came back, because I had such strong feelings, I continued to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what happened exactly that I decided to leave slowly. I don't remember.
While you were in the basic training, were you seeing women? Were you like having those feelings?
No, like no. No,
So
I
at
mean,
what
I think I
point
was
did
super stressed. I wasn't even thinking about
well,
that.
what point did that sort of come back?
Came
Was that
back.
your like
Yeah.
entrance into leaving?
Actually, I remember now. So my ex came back into my life.
So it was a
It
woman.
was a woman. And it again, it didn't work out because it just wasn't meant to be. But having those feelings again was like, huh, like this is nice. And it was, now that I say it was more than 3 months. Okay, it wasn't a long, long time, but it was more than 3 months. So after our breakup, I decided to start dating women. I know that was like outside of the church, and I knew what that meant for me. Maybe I couldn't get my recommendation to go to the temple and things like that. But I had decided that I wasn't going to forget about the church. You know? I was like gonna hold on to the teachings that they
But not all of
teach.
the
Not
teachings.
all of the teachings. That one teaching, no.
So how did you pick and choose?
You shouldn't. I mean, you shouldn't do that. I just thought to myself, well, staying with the good and choosing to like follow that is better than not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't think, I think most people, I think majority of people who are in a religion do pick and choose.
Yeah. Actually, and a lot of very, very devoted members, they do things that are against their teachings, but I understand that. I mean, we're
Yeah, isn't
humans.
that what like forgiveness is
Yeah.
for?
So I think they really hold people to high standards, which is, I mean, it's just impossible to maintain. It's honestly, it is. So I think they should focus more on just accepting people how they are, and spreading the love that Jesus, they say that Jesus had for all of us, you know. And but anyway,
So at what point were you like, you said that you were leading slowly.
yeah, I left slowly. It wasn't like a this yeah, I wasn't like I'm gonna stop going to church. No, it was very, very, very slowly. And at one point I didn't go to church anymore and didn't find myself talking about religion as much. And then I met my wife. I remember actually when we met, she had very strong feelings about the church, and I try to, don't know, maybe protect the church
What were
as much
her
as,
feelings? Were they negative to the church? Were they positive to
yeah
the church?
yeah no, they were pretty negative, I think.
Why? Why? Why was that, do you think?
I think, and I don't know. I think we just had different experiences. She had very, very hard experiences with the church. I happened to have met like incredible people, and people that didn't really make me feel bad about my sexuality or anything like that. And I guess her experience was different. So, you know, I had that side, and so I was like, it's not bad people. But then, as time went by, and as you read more of other things and listen to other opinions, there are things that I think are a little, I don't know, like there are things that I don't agree with the system. I don't think specific people, because I again, I've met great people, but it just, the masses, the big picture, there are things that I don't really agree with.
Can you name some of those? What? Why don't you agree with them? Like, kind of, how was your... Because you did agree with them at one point, yeah, right? But how did that sort of evolve into you not agreeing with it anymore?
I don't know. Maybe I just... I think at some point, a lot of it is who you surround yourself with. I think if I would have surrounded myself with more active members, I wouldn't be saying these things right now. So I don't know how much of this that I'm saying is not me. But I don't know. I don't agree with tithing. Like, if you don't pay your tithing, you can't go to the temple, which kind of sounds like you have to pay to be able to enter the temple. And I know there's someone out there that knows why tithing is a thing, and that is great that they think that. I don't think that. Or, I mean, the church has banks. The church has money in the stock market. And why is that? I mean, where's that money coming from? Of course, all of us, right? So why?
Right.
Yeah, I don't like, why a bank? Like, I don't, just things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really agree. And it's not this, I mean, I'm sure every church has their things, which is why I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I don't know if a church is kind of what I want to be part of a church.
Right. So let's kind of get into that. You went from being Catholic to being Mormon, or LDS, as they sometimes call it, to now not following a religion.
Yeah.
Do you still believe in God? Do you follow some practices still that came from religion?
I can't say I don't believe in God. I don't. So, and not only God, like, I cannot say I don't believe in Christ. There's just something within me that just, I can't say that. Maybe I'm just afraid that I'll go to hell if I do.
I mean, that is a huge thing that people distill into young kids, is the fear of God, or, you know, is that something that you still hold on to?
I don't think, if there's a God, I don't think he would mistreat me for saying my feelings. I think there would be a conversation of, you had these things that you know you can't deny, so why not trust it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I can't say that
you don't believe.
That I don't believe.
Because there were parts in your life
that
things happened.
Yeah. If it was coincidence, it was just crazy coincidence. Because it wasn't just the one or the two times. Like, it was many, many things. But, I don't know, scientists out there maybe have an explanation for everything.
Which is funny, because you are a scientist.
I am a scientist. Yeah. But there's so much that I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I'm finishing my bachelor's. There's like a lot that I don't know.
Right.
But yes, I do try to think of things more logically. I think that things have a limit. Science has a limit, you know, because clearly humans, even the smartest person on Earth, has a limit. And I think it is beyond that, if there's a God, where God comes to place, you know? I think God is the greatest scientist. So, yeah, he knows. He knows it. He knows. He probably knows in what things were wrong. He's like, you dumb as hell. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you still believe in God.
Yeah.
Do you then believe also in the devil?
No.
Okay. That's interesting.
No, I don't. I don't think so. You
just carry that over from religion?
No. And I don't think it was taught like that. At least not that I remember. Again, I don't think I take many things personal, I guess. But if at some point there was thought that there was a devil, I didn't go to that class or whatever, because I've heard that there is.
You've heard that there is a devil. I've heard
that there is a devil. I don't know if it has to do with Catholic Church, maybe. I don't know if the Mormon Church teaches that. Again, I don't know. Maybe I just space out when they talk about the devil. I don't know.
Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there is a devil. Maybe. I don't think there's a thing that makes us bad.
You think people are just bad sometimes?
Well, lately I've been having conversation with my friends of like good and bad. Is there such a thing? Mm-hmm. I believe there's such a thing, but apparently I shouldn't believe that, because who am I to say what's good and bad? So I have a little bit of conflict explaining this, but I don't think there's something that wants that its whole purpose is to make misery out of people. Okay. You know.
So you do believe that there is good and bad.
Yeah.
But you don't believe. Do you believe that God is good?
Yeah.
But then you don't believe that there's any necessarily.
So we're talking about God like God is a being of some sort.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not like God is good, like the word good. You know, God is a being and it's great. And I don't think there's a being
that is the opposite.
Who's the opposite? Yeah. Okay. I don't think that.
Okay. So does that mean that God could also not be great? Like, does he have both those sides?
No.
Does he have both those sides that humans do?
No, I think he's great all the time.
So if God made us as an image of him.
Yeah.
Where did that badness come from?
Well, again, I think what we say is bad is because we have made it bad. Like, we think that it's bad to hit a kid. Even though I grew up, I mean, my parents hit, and I'm not saying that's correct. Please don't cancel this podcast. I'm not saying that's correct. I'm just saying in Latin culture, it's not the worst thing to hit your kid when they are doing wrong things. But here in the United States, you know, there's another view on that. So what's good and what's bad? I definitely think there are other ways, but how do you categorize?
Right.
Well, how do you put the label, and who are you to decide?
Right.
I don't know. But
so is God this neutral figure then?
No, I think God is good.
See, now I'm confused.
I God is just good, and we are thriving to be the best version of ourselves. Like, God is the best version there is to something.
But you just said that, who are we to say what is good and what is bad?
Yeah.
But you're saying that God is good.
Yeah.
Who are you to say that God is good?
Well, he is good whether I say it or not. I don't say it. Like, he's good beyond me.
Okay.
And beyond what any of us thinks.
Okay.
You know? Uh-huh. I can say he's bad, but he won't stop being good because I say so.
Right.
Yeah, and again, I'm just, I am not, I don't, not, I haven't studied religion, as a lot of you may now know. And this is just like my opinion.
Right. No, I think it's
I have no basis of like, no.
Yeah. No, that's the whole point of this podcast, is every single person has a different view, no matter if they follow the same religion or not. Every person has a different view, and that's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to find everyone's view and kind of the intricacies of that. So if you don't follow religion but you believe in God, do you then believe in an afterlife?
That's another tricky one. I think with that, I'm just, with everything, honestly, I'm just trying to choose whatever sits well with my heart. So if I hear a great story about the afterlife and I'm like, I wish that was it, and I'm gonna believe it, then I'll do that. Right now, I don't think there's something I hold, like, I feel that it's 100% true in my heart. I would love the idea to be with my wife forever. Though forever, it's like a long time. So will we just like get bored of eternity? I don't know. Or is it, you know, I don't remember how life was like before I was here.
Right.
And I didn't have an inconvenience with that. So maybe that wouldn't be as bad either. If I was just done, you know? So... yeah, I don't think I have a set mindset on the afterlife.
Interesting.
I would also like to reincarnate, you know, dolphin or something.
So are you just kind of like, because for me, it makes me nervous if I don't believe in an afterlife, because I'm like, well, what if whatever you want to happen when you die is what happens? So if I don't believe in something, if I don't want something to be there when I die, nothing will happen when I die.
And does that scare you?
It does, because so that I'm constantly being like, I need to believe in an afterlife, so when I die there is an afterlife. Do you feel that at all, or do you think whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen?
No, I think whatever happens happens. I think I'm gonna figure out and I'll know. Unless there's nothing, and then I wouldn't know. But that also doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you?
No.
Nothing will happen? No. That nothing could happen?
Yeah. Because then I won't, it's not like I'll suffer because nothing happened. Like, I just wouldn't feel
anything. Does that possibility drive you at all in your life to go out and do the things you want to do, to experience more? Like, does it drive you to get up? Or what is, because a lot of people have a purpose within their religion. It gives them purpose to continue living their life. Do you feel that at all?
No, nothing, no motivation of mine comes out of religion, religious beliefs. Yeah, no.
Okay.
I don't know what else to
say. So how do you define your morals? Is it just whatever... whatever you're feeling at the time, does it change?
My morals, meaning how do I decide to live my life?
Meaning, or I guess, back to the what is good and
what is bad. Good and what is bad. Right. I think, I was going to say, I think I'm just pretty, just flowing how society is going now, but I have some strong opinions about things that are going on now. I don't know. I think if you're not hurting people with what you do, if you're not hurting yourself with what you do, you're safe. You know, to say that you're being a good human. And that's what I try to live by. I mean, am I going to be hurting? Would this hurt someone? And if the answer is no, then... but then that's also tricky, because what if you work in HR and you have to fire someone, you know, because they are not performing well?
Right.
It's just part of your job to do that.
But then if you don't fire them because you don't want to hurt them, maybe you're hurting 100 other people that work in the company.
Yeah, so it's hard decisions. But, I mean, yeah. Generally. Not, yeah. Maybe in this example of the HR, I mean, it's easy to understand. Maybe not to understand, because I don't have a clear answer why that's a different situation. I don't know, but there's something in you that knows that the right thing to do is to fire the person is not performing well, right? And there are more complicated things than that. They are not maybe as clear. I try to do my best. I don't know.
So now that you're at this part of your life where you're kind of doing what's best in your heart for you, do you see that changing at all as you get older? Do you, when you have kids, do you see yourself introducing them to a religion or kind of just building off what you do now?
Yeah, I tell my wife, if we have kids, we have to baptize them, just in case.
Just in case.
And I always say, just in case, because, like, just in case, you know? And I think that's funny, and that just shows, like, certain things that are just so rooted in our lives. You know, I never really went to church. It wasn't that big of a deal for me and my family. But just in
It just in
case, you
case.
know? And I don't say God doesn't exist, because, like, just in case. No, I've had experiences, but yeah, just in case. It wouldn't hurt to baptize them. It's just a day out of our lives, and
Unless there's a God that, you know, if you get baptized, you're not welcome into heaven, if that's what the ending is.
yeah. So just in case,
So just
they are welcome because they are baptized, and I know, like, logically, that doesn't make sense, right? That you're just granted an entrance to heaven because you got baptized. Like, it just doesn't make sense logically. But
To ease your mind.
yeah, that
And
is
that's
that's I
fine.
feel like that, like, you feel with death, I guess. I feel this.
And I think that's kind of what religion is for, just to ease your mind as you like walk through this life. It's, you know, I think that is probably the main purpose of religion, is to know what the heck is going on, you know. So you don't really see anything changing. You're pretty content in where you are.
I think so. Yeah. I would like to be more spiritual, honestly.
What does that look like?
I don't know. But I've met people that they just have a good vibe, like, just good energy surrounding them. And I'm not talking specifically about God. Some of them do believe in God, and some of them don't, but you can just see that they are, like, at peace with life and who they are and all of this. So something like that. But I have a lot of anxiety, so I don't know.
Don't know if that'll ever work out.
Yeah.
Well, that was, I think that was great insight, and I disagree with you at the beginning that you don't have a good story. I think that you do have a good story, and I think that it's unique because you are the only you know, and your experiences are only your experiences, and I think a lot of people can relate to kind of what you went through, and I appreciate you coming on and being the first of hopefully many.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. I didn't think I had a lot to say, honestly, but I guess I do. And I mean, I talk to my friends about this kind of things, and yeah. No, thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed it. And maybe we can do this again in the future. Maybe,
Your
you
opinions will
know.
have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's room for growth.
There is always room for growth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And that is a wrap. Thank you for joining me on this episode of What the Religion. Follow me on TikTok at What the Religion. Join me on Patreon. And most importantly, if you want a chance to share your beliefs, send me an email to whattereligion@gmail.com. And as always, I'll hear you later.